Stop. So my prayer is praising Vidura for his bhakti. So as we know, Vidura was a very famous devotee of Krishna, very attached to Krishna, and favored by Krishna, more even than a person like Maitreya. So the words of Maitreya are actually quite true. Vidura had a special relationship of affection with the Supreme Lord, and this was in no way conditional. So we see from the life of Vidura that he gave up the palace when Dhritarashtra insulted him. And he was not interested in material comforts. On the other hand, we'll find that Duryodhana insulted him. When Dhritarashtra was, all of his sons were killed in the battle, he lived in the palace of the Pandavas. He didn't give up the palace, even though he hated the Pandavas. He didn't give up the palace. He was living in the palace. But Vidura, when he was insulted by Duryodhana, he gave up the palace of Dhritarashtra and went on pilgrimage. And of course, that's where he has his conversation with Maitreya. Vidura actually was a great devotee, and Maitreya is telling the truth when he talks about the pure devotion of Vidura. So this topic arises because Dhruva was lamenting his own impure motives in bhakti. Even though he ultimately rejected those desires, he still regretted such approach to the Supreme Lord where one has desires. But as Prabhupada points out in the purport, there is no possibility of removing all desires from the jiva. The desires that we are reflected in the mind of the living entity with the material body, of course, those must be eradicated. So therefore, in the process of jnana and yoga, the attempt is made to stop all desires. Because desire is the impetus for action, action causes karma, karma causes bondage in the material world. And that all arises because of ignorance. So we get suffering, we get action, we get desire, and we have ignorance as the main cause. So we destroy ignorance by knowledge, that is jnana. Yoga, the system is a little different. Desires come from the mind, let's stop the activities of the mind. Then we're free. So these two processes are there to stop desires. One by destroying ignorance with knowledge, and therefore desire is stopped. How that works is that with knowledge one understands I am not the body. All of this is useless. The body and all of its desires are useless, so I will reject it as being temporary nonsense. And one becomes completely detached. So that is the process of jnana. Through knowledge we develop detachment, therefore no more desires, no more actions, etc. And then we're free. And we think of everything as part of the Supreme Lord or Brahman. And in yoga, of course, through the process of asana and pranayama and pratyahara and dharana and jnana, then finally all of the functions of the mind, thinking, feeling, willing, and impressions, everything, it all stops. That's the whole idea. Stop the mind from working. Then no more desires. And then Atma reveals itself. So these are two processes of destroying the subtle body and the karmas and desires, ignorance, etc. Now, the problem is that they are difficult processes. Because, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is difficult to practice this for people who have material bodies. To stop the desires, to stop the activity of the body, etc. is very, very difficult. And it takes a long time. That is recognized in jnana and yoga also. They recognize that it's a difficult process and takes time. So karma itself, we don't even speak about karma because there's no attempt to get rid of the material body, only to adjust the material body in the material world and work for the greatest amount of happiness and the least amount of suffering. That's all. That is karma yoga. So that in itself is not a good solution. because ignorance is still there. So the other position is that of bhakti. So in bhakti, this idea of desire is there. It is not given up completely, unlike the other processes of jnana and yoga. So desire is there, but a different desire. That's all. So what does it mean that the jiva cannot give up desire? Does that mean that jiva cannot give up his material identity? No, he can. But he must always remain conscious. Even in the state of Brahman, he is conscious. And we see as far as material world goes, he has an identity. And then, of course, it's distorted by ahankara. And then he has desires and activities. So this is the problem. We have a false identity. And then we have desires, actions, and karma. So the process of jnana and yoga is stop the false identity, destroy the ahankara, and all the karmas that go with it. However, in bhakti, the jiva, yes, we stop the ahankara, but we do not stop the consciousness and the individual identity of the jiva. Even though ahankara, in the material sense, is destroyed, ahankara, in another sense, is not destroyed. Because ahankara means the sense of I. So in bhakti, the sense of I in the jiva is not considered detrimental. It's not destroyed. In jnana, yes, it is. Yeah? We try to destroy that completely and think of oneness. But in bhakti, no. There is an I inherent in the jiva itself. So, therefore, in bhakti, what happens to that I? Yeah? So, the one thing is that the I turns into a material factor, and then we desire things for enjoyment. This is the problem. So that's why the jnanis want to destroy that ahankara. So in bhakti, we don't destroy that. Rather, we direct it towards the Lord. The difference is that there's no maya, because the I in relation to the Lord is not governed by selfishness, our desire to enjoy. And therefore, there's no harm in that. It does not create a false I, a false ego, and consequently material desires. Action direct and desire is directed towards the Lord with no personal desires do not create false ego, material desires, action, and karma. So this is the process used in bhakti. Direct oneself towards the Lord without those desires. So then one can say, well, if one doesn't get any desires for ourselves, what is the motive in doing anything? That in the material world, we are motivated to do something because we want something for ourselves, or an extension of ourselves in terms of family member. We work because we need money, because we have to support a family. Even if we don't use it ourselves, we need it for the family. So this is extension. So still, it is concerning self and persons connected with the self. So generally, that's how we operate in the material world. So the only difficulty in bhakti is not so much the desire part, because you don't give up desire, but you can have no material motivation in your desire. That's the big difficulty. So how can that take place? Why would we act without getting anything for ourselves? So this depends upon the existence, eternal existence, of something spiritual, which is called bhakti itself, or prema. That is the nature of the jiva to express love for the Lord. So that is why the process will work. Otherwise it cannot work at all, because we won't have any motive at all. So the motive here, in one sense, is simply to express love for the Lord. This process, therefore, in practice, we follow this process, but we still have the material body, material senses, mind, material intelligence, false ego are still there. Nevertheless, we practice this. How is it possible? It is possible if the Atman has enough strength. That means Shraddha has to be there. The Atma itself has to have some conviction in the Lord. And this impels one to do the devotional acts, employing the material mind and the material body, but when they are employed, they do not create obstacles. So in this way, one does not have to stop the activities of the mind or the body or the senses. Okay? They do not create a problem because they become spiritualized by the Shraddha of the Jiva. So when utilized for the Lord in bhakti, which is spiritual, then those actions do not have any karma attached to them at all. They do not create the material impressions or anything like that. So, therefore, they do not create bondage. Moreover, not only they don't create new bondage, they destroy the old bondage. So they don't create new karmas, and they destroy all the past karmas and all the past impressions and samskaras, etc. Everything is destroyed by the process of bhakti. So this is the process of bhakti. So this is somewhat easier than trying to stop the mind and the senses and the body, etc. Easier in that sense. It may take some time, so we do not see instantaneous bhakti or instantaneous pure love. We do see instantaneous destruction of karma, as in the case of Ajamila. All those karmas were destroyed when he said in Narayan's name. So that's not a problem. But the problem is to develop the full bhakti in the Atma. That's the what may take time. Even that is relatively quick. It may take several lifetimes, but still, it is not such a problem as the other processes like karma, jnana, or yoga, which then take a great endeavor. So therefore, the process of bhakti is recommended because not only it is quicker and easier because we engage the body, but the result is much different. The result is satisfying to the jiva. So that is the main reason. So even though we'll see that often in these statements about bhakti, says how bhakti will destroy your karmas, or bhakti gets rid of birth and death, etc., and bhakti is liberation. It does that, but this is not the real advantage of bhakti at all. This is a side effect, a secondary effect of bhakti. The main effect is simply to develop that relationship with the Lord. That is the main thing for the devotee.
Yeah, in the material world, but in the spiritual world they also exist.
Everyone has an identity in the spiritual world. Every servant, every person, Radharani thinks she is not Krishna. She's Radha, and Subal is Subal, and Nanda Maharaj is Nanda Maharaj, and so does. So they have an eye sense. And they also have possessive instinct. What is possession though? They're attached to Krishna. They're not attached to material things for themselves or enjoyment. They're attached to Krishna. So mamata is there, definitely. The sense of Krishna is mine. So aham and mama are there in the spiritual world also. But they have no negative effects. That's all. In the material world they have negative effects because it arises from our false identity due to ignorance, due to desire for enjoyment. So that is why we get the karma. So strong sense of possessiveness of Krishna is the indication of prema. Pratisaya mamata is the definition of prema. Extreme possessiveness of Krishna. Extreme attachment to Krishna.
In one sense, it looks pretty much the material one. I feel very much extremely attached to my family or my car.
Yeah.
Or I feel like I belong to someone or someone else belongs to me.
Yeah.
But if you change it to Krishna, then that's it. Everything is completely different.
But then you could also attach yourself to Krishna with the expectation of getting everything from Krishna. So then it becomes a material thing again.
That's
right. Still, it is better. And if it's mixed bhakti, even then, you get a better result. So people who have karma, mistra, bhakti, they're attached to Krishna because they want material results. Still, they end up, the process works for them also, and they end up in the spiritual world also better than the jnanis and the yogis. So it's even easier to do karma, mistra, bhakti than jnana and yoga, and the result is still better. Both. It's easier, and you get a better result also. Yeah? But of course, it's not as good as doing pure bhakti. The result there is much better, and much quicker also.
We hear these instructions repeatedly, but most of the time it just remains as a memory or as a theory. Very rarely it gets transformed to, you know, really thinking Krishna as a person, or you belonging to him, or you belonging to you. How does that transformation happen? Otherwise it's just theory, though mentally I can, you know, forcefully do all these things. But at one point of time it changes. How does it happen?
Well, this is the effect of sadhana. So sadhana starts with faith, and we have a little attraction for Krishna. It's not enough to become absorbed in Krishna. The point of absorption would be somewhere in Ruchi or Asakti. Yeah? And in Nishta, it's kind of a half-half thing. Yeah? So when it goes beyond half-half, half-material, half-spiritual type thing, then we get into Ruchi and Asakti. So at that point, one becomes quite absorbed in the Supreme Lord and everything related to the Supreme Lord in a favorable way, and that taste develops in a very positive way. So therefore one experiences bhakti much more directly than in the previous stages of Anarjuna, Bhakti, Nishtha, whatever. But if you don't get, you can't get to asakti unless you go through the other stages.
మాతాజీ